Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Welcome to episode 21 of Women in WP. I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Angela Bowman.
And our guest today is Cami McNamara. Cami's been building and maintaining websites since 2002 at webcami.com. Welcome, Cami.
Hi, it's so nice to see you guys.
And we're so happy to have you. We wanted to start our episode today by asking you to tell us about your journey to WordPress.
Well, I started designing websites in 2002, and I found myself interested in becoming a web designer because I had a kid. And I'm always amazed at how many other women have shared that experience with me. So I picked up HTML for Dummies, which led to me enrolling in a community college course. So I got a certification. It took me 3 years to do what was supposed to be a 9-month program because I had like a toddler at home. And I just started working immediately in my neighborhood, doing the preschool, the local, you know, I ended up doing a couple of Seattle public school websites, and, you know, they gave me FTP credentials into the, you know, into their system, which was just amazing. So I continued with that. And about 2007, I had a client say, I need a blog. So I went to WordPress.com, set up their blog, and connected it to the HTML, CSS, JavaScript website that I built from scratch. So during that time, I'm thinking, wow, WordPress is going to put me out of business. Everybody can set up their own site. And then as I'm working with it, I'm like, oh, no, I don't have anything to worry about. This will actually help me grow my business. And it took me about 3 years of adding on the blog to go, oh, I can self-host and download from WordPress.org. And then the light bulb went off and it was like, I'm just going to build websites in WordPress. I'm done with the hand coding. And I transitioned from there. I started with Thesis and did a few sites with that. And then I had a customer come to me with the Genesis site that he liked. And man, that was the beginning of it all. I went all in on the StudioPress lifetime membership, and I hired Kim Doyle, the WordPress chick, to train me how to use Genesis. So from there, I started using Beaver Builder in 2016 in concert with Genesis. And last year, I switched to Beaver Builder only. So that's my transition.
It's so funny because you're trajectory from Thesis to Genesis to Beaver Builder is exactly the path I went. I hardly ever talk to people that use Thesis. I feel so old school when I say that I was a Thesis person.
Yeah, no, you can Wayback Machine my website. I've had it forever, right? It goes to like building frames. Oh God. And then you can see my Thesis version around the 2010, 2011 mark.
I think we can all say we had a Thesis moment.
Yeah.
And we've all built preschool websites. Like, yes. We should just start taking a poll.
You know, I ended up being like the communications chair for everything, for Little League, for soccer, for, you know, that was my job. And it really helped me. I mean, that's how I grew my business before. I'm in B&I now, but before then I just volunteered all over town. So, you know, I think that is just a great way for the person who's starting out to get their name out there. You're not making much money, but people come to know you as the person who does web design.
And you've done over 400 websites. I mean, that's huge. What do you feel like has been the thing that you would most be able to convey to other business owners who are embarking on taking on building sites for other people? What's your like top piece of advice after all that experience?
This one is really easy. Do not let your client come to you with a theme that they found on ThemeForest that they want you to build for them. That's not what you do. You're a web designer. So filling in a theme that they find at ThemeForest is going to turn into a nightmare. I would say pick whatever you're going to do, pick that as your main selling point to your client. So somebody would come to me and I'd go, oh, great. This is, you know, this theme is really slow, because they all are on ThemeForest, usually really heavy on the back end. I use Genesis themes, and here's one that's similar. why don't we start here and we'll customize it to be your own so it doesn't look like everyone else's. So I would just steer people to Genesis, and now I just steer them, like, that's all I do. If they want a website that is not something that I'm building for them, then I just pass on the job. But if you streamline your process and you're only working with one system, you're going to be faster, better, you're going to be an expert at it, and it's going to make your life easier.
Yeah, I've totally made that mistake in the past, taking on somebody's, I have this theme, can you just help me with it? And I always, you know, I think it's a woman thing. I just want to help people.
Yes.
And so I just, you know, sure, I'll take a look. I'll see what I can do. And then, you know, by the time it's over, I've rebuilt the whole thing.
Right. Because you figured out that the previous designer didn't use widgets and all the sidebar is hand coded in, right? Things like that.
Or they did use widgets and I hate it.
Oh yeah. Either way, whichever your preference is, it's just not the way you would do it. And therefore you're spending hours that you didn't expect trying to figure it out.
You decided to go with Beaver Builder. Were there any other builder tools that you tried out, and what sold you on Beaver Builder?
Yeah, I did about 5 sites on Divi. And after I trained the client, and they never got it, like they could just not use it on their own. That and how much slower it was to load. And then when you tried to remove a website from Divi, you're left with this short code madness everywhere that you've got to clean up. And because I used to code, I am still the person that wants the code to look perfect and indent. And, you know, I just want clean code, even though nobody's looking at it. I don't know why. So that was like my first try. And a designer here in Duval, Anne-Marie Gill, she's a good friend of mine. She said, you've got to try Beaver Builder. And we co-work every now and then, about 4 times a year. She's over on the east side. Driving anywhere in Seattle takes hours. So we get together and she turned me on to Beaver Builder, and I just did exactly what I did with Studio Press, and I went all in. I bought Lifetime for all the add-ons and agency level, and I did enjoy being able to transition with Genesis and Beaver Builder. I think that helped me move forward with it because I was so comfortable with Genesis at the time.
And I did that as well. I was, you know, Genesis with Beaver Builder for a long time, and finally, mostly I've switched over to all Beaver Builder. And sometimes I still do Genesis stuff depending on what the client needs, or, you know, if they need something really cheap and they don't want to pay for a custom design, I still have my whole lifetime license for all the Studio Press themes. So I just send them there and tell them, pick out a theme and we'll set you up. And it's
great, you know, great for food bloggers. Food bloggers, I still go to my, you know, Foodie Pro or whatever it is, because it's all just set up for them. Yeah.
And so you two, you mentioned that you certainly have gotten involved with WordCamps and the WordPress community. And what role has that played in your evolution? You picked your tool, but then you also, you know, you're not just by yourself. You're a part of a community.
Yeah, completely. I joined BNI in 2010, and that's Business Networking International. It's a networking group. And in that group, I met an SEO specialist who was involved in WordCamp. So he invited me because he was speaking. And honestly, I didn't even really, I mean, I knew there were a few meetups. Bob Dunn had a meetup at my local library for WooCommerce that I went to, but I didn't get that, you know, WordPress community in Seattle is like 3,000 people close. So once I went to that, it was so helpful because you're learning it on your own. Like I did lynda.com training, and, you know, Carrie Bills has trainings on there. Just I'm self-taught with WordPress, right? But I had enough skill from, you know, learning basic web design to pick it up pretty quickly. But I love the whole WordPress community, and I probably don't get to go to meetings as much as I'd like to. But I'll always be a part of it somehow. And, you know, it's introduced me to so many people, and just meeting different companies and exposure to the different tools that are out there for us. So there's never been a WordCamp that I've walked away from where I didn't learn something incredibly valuable to apply to my business.
Yeah, I am with you. And when I go to a WordCamp these days, since, you know, I've been around the block so many times, now I feel really old.
Me too.
I feel like if I can walk away with one thing, like one thing I didn't think of or one thing that I didn't know, one tip, it's going to help me grow my business, then I feel like it's been a worthwhile trip. Because, you know, you're paying what, $50, $30 mm-hmm. to go to these WordCamps. You know, how much do I really need to, you know, grow and learn to make back that $30 or $50.
Yeah. And we get exposure. I remember one of the first things that I sat through at WordCamp in Seattle, it used to be at the UW over at the college, was the law and WordPress. And just, you know, the amount of people, I still have it happen where a client, this just happened yesterday, grab the graphic off this website and slap my logo on it. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. That's illegal. And, you know, I have something to talk to them about. And so sometimes, you know, you just bring back something that just changes how you talk to your clients as well. And I think that that's really invaluable.
I had a client send me copy that they had copied from somebody else's website that still had the links, the internal links within the site. And it was a lawyer. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised by anything. Yeah, people get really freaked out about getting their content together and just, well, you know, just take everything off this and plop it in there for me. It's like, well, I can rewrite it or summarize it, or, you know, I'm not really into doing the copywriting, but if somebody is completely at a loss, I will throw in my help.
I love what you said about being able to just pick up that one thing at the WordCamp and having it be worthwhile. I went to the Salt Lake City WordCamp. I was asked to speak there, and I went to one session that just changed everything for me. It was Stephanie Wells speaking about her plugin Formidable Forms. And I've been able to do so many amazing things with that plugin. And that you mentioned that, like, you've also learned from other women like Jennifer Bourne, the Profitable Project Plan, and streamlining your processes for your business, doing more automation, which thank tools like Formidable Forms can help you do. Like, speak to that. Like, what kind of automation and processes have you improved over the years?
Well, Jennifer's, so I think I took a workshop from Jennifer up here in Seattle at WordCamp 2017. And, you know, I was talking to somebody else earlier today about this. I sort of flew by the seat of my pants for the first 6 to 8 years of my business, right? No systems, just like, okay, I have a dedicated office and I have a to-do list and that was it. And when I signed up for Profitable Project Plan, and, you know, she just has an incredible email sequence that goes out throughout the whole process and divides up the, you know, all your different areas that you're working on throughout the timeline of the job. And it took me over a year to implement all of it because I work on about 15 to 25 new projects at one time. So I never have time to do that. So I went to the library once a week for about a year for 2 hours on Wednesday nights and worked on my own business. And that included her training. And, you know, I'm still learning to implement it all, to use Zapier and, you know, Gravity Forms I use quite a bit. And I just signed up for BidSketch because I'm tired of sending, you know, my proposals on PDFs and things like that. So in addition to her training, I did WP Elevation too. And I did those pretty close to each other. And it was a good complement. One was more agency driven, which I'm not. But there's always information for agencies that you can apply to yourself if you're just a solopreneur. And then just tying that in with Jennifer's training, it was a home run for me. I'm far more efficient. So I just would recommend that anybody starting out, you got to invest in yourself. I went a really long time without doing that. you know, my lynda.com subscription was as far as I was going, and I wasn't going to go to conferences and things like that. And, you know, now I'm really into it, and it just makes me a better web designer and a better business owner. I mean, web design is what I do, but I run everything. I'm the everything. I'm the accountant, the whole works. So any help I can get, I'll take.
Well, and I think that that's so important. And people, you hear these debates about, you know, oh, you're not a real developer, you don't know how to code this or code that. And, you know, code will not run your business. Writing mm-hmm. good code is not going to bring your clients in the door. Your clients don't care that you write good code. They care that you know how to get the job done. And part of that is knowing how to do accounting and knowing how to get new clients and all these different aspects that people forget about. And I think it's so valuable that, you know, you invest your time into all the aspects of running a business, because we are running businesses. We're not just writing code.
Exactly. And time management. If you can't manage time when you're working on a project, you're not going to be successful. And tools that help you manage time, Calendly. Like, I'll never forget, I was like at a co-working event in downtown Seattle, and a girl stood up, and I say girl, she was like 22. She's like, Calendly is the best thing in the whole world. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you. It changed my whole life that day. Just that one sentence that she said. And I came home and I stopped sending 18 emails to try to schedule a client phone call. So anyway, it is amazing the tools that are out there for us. It's painstakingly hard to find the one that's right for you. Like, I've tried so many CRMs and, you know, but you have to try everything and see what works.
Yeah, it's great. Amy is really kind of the queen of automation, and I want her to do a presentation for my meetup remotely, just to like, or even just have a webinar with our past participants on our podcast where it's like, bring out your automation tools, show us what you know. And
well, and so many people talk about it, right? And it's great, and you get all excited, and then you sit down, and it's like, oh my God, how do I set this up, right? I guess somebody could make a killing with courses just on automation setup.
One of my hobbies is just looking for different things I can connect in Zapier. And so I will just sit there and look and look and look, and then I'll post in Slack, you know, what great automations do you guys have? What are you guys doing with Zapier? And I'm always disappointed that I don't get more people telling me all the great zaps they're making.
Well, all I've had time to set up is I get a zap when somebody fills out my contact forms.
Okay, Amy, we need to have some WordCamp US. Let's do some automation, because I got some things I can show you.
I'm coming ready.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about your work with GoDaddy. And, you know, I can ask this as because somebody that also does some work with GoDaddy, but I think we got started in it in a different way. And GoDaddy kind of has an interesting reputation in the WordPress community, something that they have been trying to fix. So how did that start for you, and what is your work with them now?
So I've been a customer of theirs since like 2003. I think that's as far back as I can go in like printed receipts. I started blogging about problems I was having with Gravity Forms and GoDaddy hosting, where I was not getting my form notifications. They were going into nowhere. And that led, Mendel reached out to me, who was the evangelist. So that was kind of like my first interaction with the people working at GoDaddy. So later I started a care plan business in 2015. And I used Managed WP, and I had already had tons of people who had delegated access to me in GoDaddy Pro. So I clicked a merge button, and suddenly I was in the pro system and I had all kinds of problems. So I sent an email to someone, I can't remember, I just reached out, and I ended up on a pro council that was all about that merge. And I did that for about 6 months. And when that finished, I had another problem. I was in that merge and things were still, you know, a little rocky at first. And I found the web diva, Lisa's testimonial on the GoDaddy site. And I sent her a random email on it. I'm like, hey, I use it too. And, you know, let's talk. Well, She went to high school at the same high school my husband did in California. She and I have almost the same business. And we just hit it off because we really have the same clientele and it's just us doing our business. And she worked with Genesis. Again, we just had so much in common. So she reached out to Rachel and I was added to the Pro Council that Amy's on. And like a month later, I'm in Phoenix for the Pro Summit that they, you know, which was score. I mean, I'm a small business owner. Nobody flies me anywhere. So through that experience and being on the Pro Council, somebody reached out to me and said, we want to have a Web Pro Ambassador. Would you be willing to do this for us as the first one at Seattle? And I'm like, sure, I'm going to be there anyway. So, you know, they sent me GoDaddy t-shirts and I worked in the sponsor booth talking to people about Pro sites and Pro clients, which I have, you know, I use every day. Had a great time. I hit it off with everybody that was working there to the point where they're like, are you sure you don't work for, you know, it was just, I it was nice to be with people. I work by myself. So I really loved that. And from there, I have been to a couple of internal events for them as a customer that could, you know, any customer service rep can talk to. So they have like little trade shows internally. And I went to both Arizona and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and went to two call centers and met hundreds of people and said, hi, I'm Cammy. I really don't work for GoDaddy. So it's been a fun partnership. They sent me to WordCamp last year, US, and I'm going with them this year again, too. So it's the friendships that we make on that council. Like Amy and I met in person, went to happy hour at a friend's wine bar here in Kirkland. And it's just been phenomenal. You know, I love having a like a community. And I learned so much about different businesses that way too.
Yeah, I can confirm that. I got started with the council actually in, I think, 2014. The person that contacted me was just a random email from somebody that doesn't even work there anymore. And he was like, you know, I'm interested in talking to you about, you know, GoDaddy. And I'm like, I don't like GoDaddy. And he's like, we know. And it was really about they wanted to turn their reputation around with small boutique web agencies like ours and just wanted to talk to us. And I'm like, well, what's in it for me? And he's like, nothing really. And so I'm like, okay. So I joined and, you know, every 2 weeks, we did it for 6 months. It was every 2 weeks we got together and I made some really good friendships. And what I can say is that I've met some really, really great people at GoDaddy. People that have supported me and been very, very good friends. And while I may not always like their products 100%, I know that they're working, they're listening to our feedback, they're working to make them better. And I think they're valuing the information we're giving them.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. You know, I've had ups and downs with them. You know, there are certain areas that, you know, aren't the best for my business, but they still could be good for somebody else. You know, who am I to judge? But the tools that I use that are great, right? Like Pro Sites is great. Being able to access a client account in one place and get into all my clients' accounts, great, you know, time saver. So, and my experience is the people that work there are fantastic. And I know every time I've worked with them, I just feel like part of the team, which that doesn't always happen. I worked in corporate retail. So my job before this was an allocation analyst at J. Jacobs and Eddie Bauer. And a different climate completely. You know, I mean, yes, it was nice and I'm still friends with everybody, but people didn't walk around as happy as everybody is at GoDaddy. They're really like stoked to work for them.
Yeah, I got to meet Adam Warner at WordCamp Denver this summer. And oh my gosh. And then another woman who is with him who's new. And I just loved hanging out with them. Like they were just fun people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I literally at WordCamp US, I was the first person to get to the booth that morning because I was so excited. I never went to one talk. At WordCamp US, I worked that booth the entire time. And it was because it was exhilarating. I was having a great time. They had like 30 people on their team there, you know, and I got to meet so many interesting people at WordCamp, everything from the agency owner to like the family of three that was blogging their RV trip across the United States, right? I mean, you just don't get to experience that anywhere else. So this year I am hoping to make it to a talk or two. But yeah, it's been a real highlight of my career to be able to connect with so many other people in the industry from other places. I don't feel so alone.
Yeah, I would love to take a few minutes and think if we could just talk about the isolation of being an at-home employee or, you know, a worker. I've been working at home since 2006. Before that, I was a stay-at-home mom, which is also very isolating. And I think, you know, coming into, you know, I didn't go to my first WordCamp till 2013. So I was really alone during all that time. And I think there are a lot of other people out there that are also, you know, you feel that kind of loneliness of being alone and how getting involved in the community can really make a difference.
Well, for me, you know, everything I did revolved around my kid, right? And so all the jobs that I were getting were from, you know, parents at Little League games or anything else. But I think that what people don't understand about running a home business is you can't run your home and run your business. You have to shut that off. You can't do laundry and clean the kitchen and you stay focused. Like I really come into my office and close the door. I talk to my dog a lot because he's here.
Me too.
But it is very isolating. And B&I is really what got me thinking that I need to get more involved in the WordPress community, because just being part of a business group that met once a week got me out of my sweatpants, you know, because I'm just working behind the computer, and made me to feel like a business owner. I don't think that you feel like a business owner when you're so closed up at home. And, you know, it's like people don't give you respect in that either. Like, it's like, oh, Cammie, can you pick me up at the airport? You don't have a job. Well, yeah, no, I can't pick you. No, this is before Uber. People used to ask that.
Oh yeah. And can you watch my kid for an hour while I go to an appointment?
Can you, or yeah. And can you pick them up from practice? It's in the middle of the day and I can't leave my job. And it's like, no, I have a job. I'm working my tail off every day at home. So, I think it's so important for people to be in whatever community they're working in, right? And knowing that, you know, the WordPress community is out there for meetups and you can get help from people. It's just so beneficial. I don't know that it's great for growing your business. Like I know a lot of people show up and they're like, oh, I'm going to help the DIYer and they're going to hire me. I've never felt that way. I've always felt like I just wanted to show up to build a sense of community, and maybe I can help somebody else and learn something along the way. But I feel like the meetup, the people that come to meetup that are there to really like drive business are going to be a little disappointed, because it's really more about community building, right, than anything else.
Yeah, I feel that way too. Yeah, because I started leading the our local meetup group. And I had a small meetup group before that of professionals, and it was awesome, but the main meetup is a lot bigger. And I thought, God, this is a lot of work, you know, to do a meetup, but it's been so fulfilling because we bring in outside people. Yeah. We brought in the whole design team from Jetpack. We brought in the product manager from WooCommerce. We had SendGrid come in, like just to be able to even, for me, selfishly, like, to get speakers and people in that I want to learn from. But the community part is huge. I feel like there's just so much nurturing and caring in all of that.
Yeah. And you know, it's rewarding to give, right? I think a lot of people forget how rewarding it could be to help that person who just discovered WordPress. And we've been doing it for so long that, you know, you forget how exciting it is to get your logo in there right. Right? And the DIY people, man, they need help. right? And we have like a help desk that I volunteer at every now and then. That's probably one of the things I do most. They have a freelancer group that I went to that for a while to meet with other freelancers. And that was really useful too, because everybody's at different levels in their business. And, you know, there's somebody above me that can help me, and there's somebody below me that I can help. So it's been a huge plus. I'm so glad I picked WordPress and not Blogger.
Oh, right? Gosh. Or Joomla.
Joomla. Yeah. Or Drupal or anything, you know?
I went to a Drupal meetup once.
Oh, really? How was that?
It was scary. Like, there's this group of people, and essentially I came away with realizing if you want to build a Drupal site, you've got to like have 15 people to work on it because it's so complicated. And I'm like, I thought that that was like the way to go. Like, they did user role management better and different content types and stuff like that. And I'm like, if I really want to be a nerd, I should use Drupal. And I walked away. I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Well, and then, you know, the problem is that your clients can't use it either. So that's why I think most of us ended up on WordPress. But back to the community part, when I the first few WordCamps I went to was all about learning, you know, things I needed to run my business and figuring out how to run my business better. And now when I go back, it's all about, you know, hanging out with my people. And it didn't used to be like that. Cause I mean, before I went to WordCamp, it was just Twitter. Twitter is where I had my friends, my nerd friends. And now I have my nerd friends at WordCamps. And so it's like a reunion every time. And I have so much fun, and I just can't wait till WordCamp US this year, which this episode's going to air after it, but still, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I was supposed to do another event for GoDaddy in August, and I broke my ankle. And I'm going to be in a boot about 2 weeks before WordCamp US. So it's more than just a trip for me. It's going to be some freedom because I'm really homebound right now. And, you know, I'm like counting the days.
Well, I hope they're going to have a stool for you behind the booth and let you go sit down a little bit. Because I know even if you'll be out of the boot, it's still probably going to be tough.
I'm sure they'll take good care of me. I'm sure. I'm trying to figure out how I could incorporate the boot into a Halloween costume. I haven't quite figured it out yet.
Oh, that's right. It's going to be Halloween.
Yeah.
I think on that topic of like connecting with our friends and our cohort when we're at the WordCamps, we always have to remember that there are those other people who haven't found those people yet. And to really reach out to anyone who looks alone or is sitting quietly on the sidelines, like, would you like to join us at our table or at lunch? Because we're so excited to maybe see each other and forget that it can be a very isolating experience even to try to participate in community.
I didn't talk to anybody at my first WordCamp. Just the people I went with, I didn't talk to anybody else until the very end of the second day. I was just terrified of, you know, exposing my ineptitude. So I didn't want to, you know, talk to other people. So this is going to air after WordCamp US. So or else I would tell everybody, hey, come talk to me. So maybe I don't make a shirt or something that says, talk to me.
Thinking about it, they should honestly, in the sponsors area, have a first time WordCamp booth and have people like us in it and have people that are brand new come up and just talk. Because there's now that I've worked in the sponsor area, there is so much action going on in the sponsor area, people meeting and talking and sharing ideas that you don't get to do when you're in a session because you're all learning from the session. But, you know, that could be Ask Me Anything booth or whatever. I mean, we'd have to have a bunch of different levels of users in there, but it could be cool.
Yeah, and a Women in WP booth. I love it. We should have the t-shirts. We got to design the t-shirts, but they are supposed to have this community track for WordCamp US. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. And maybe that's something we should propose to them, is having that, the welcome newcomer kind of place, the ask me, just say hi, ask me anything.
Yeah. I just want to hear your story. People love to talk about what's going on in their world with WordPress, you know. Whether it's, you know, I love this or I'm so frustrated with this, and, you know, it all comes out in the sponsor area.
It's so great. Tracy interviewed like 11 women from 9 different countries at WordCamp Europe. in 1 hour. And there was just, there was a woman who she interviewed who was just, I don't know if it was her first WordCamp, it might've been, where she was just a blogger. And mm-hmm. I'm saying just a blogger, it's not that she's just a blogger, but I'm sure it was probably a thing for her. Like, wow, I'm going to be on a podcast. And like,
yeah, Bob Dunn interviewed me at the Portland one. That was my first podcast experience. And there are things that just kind of make the event for you, right? You know, and it's usually some kind of connection that you're making there. But yeah, I think that the Women in WordPress booth is a great idea.
And that's where we can have our Women in WordPress after dark.
Oh yeah, that would be great. I'm still waiting for you guys to do another happy hour. I was out of town the last time you did that. So
that's coming at WordCamp US. There's going to be an in-person happy hour. We just don't have all the details worked out yet, but it's in the planning. So of course, people listening, sorry, it's already happened. But Cammie, you know now.
Okay, perfect.
You spoke about in your email all the dudes. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about all the dudes, and do you feel like that's balancing out? Do you feel like particularly, I mean, there's a lot of probably different types of conferences you go to.
Right. Well, yeah, this goes back to working in the corporate retail setting. You know, the IT department was all dudes, and I was an allocation analyst. So I was working with a database and all this stuff. And I remember the feeling of like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, happening quite a bit. And I went to my first conference was an event apart. And, you know, that's Jeffrey Zeldman. And I was just blown away because somebody gave me a free ticket here in Seattle. It's like an $1,800 conference. And I walk in, I'm like one of the oldest people there, except for the people that are speaking. And it was at least 75% guys, right? And, you know, and 25% women. And most of them in their 20s. So I felt a little fish out of water. I'd been to WordCamp before and it seemed a little bit more even, but over time, I feel like WordCamp is getting more and more even, right? I feel like women are entering this job market faster than for all the same reasons we did. You know, I want something I can do from home because I'm a mom. And so I feel like it's evening out. But it has a long way to go. You know, I don't know that I make as much money as my male counterparts. You know, I think that's true across all industries and jobs. But it is more comforting to go to WordCamp and not to be one of the older women, only women and older women, right? Like I'm meeting more and more women that are in their 40s and 50s, and I feel so comfortable in that, you know, community.
And did you notice that the speaker lineup for WordCamp US this year is I think equal men and women?
Yeah, that's great too.
Every week when they announced, I was noticing that the photos were, you know, it was even. And I'm like, somebody really thought about that. Somebody put time into choosing the speakers so that it would be half and half. And it was not like that at the first WordCamp US in Philadelphia, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm just noticing, you know, I go to other conferences too. I went to like a marketing conference here in Seattle. I'm trying to pick up ones that are right here in Seattle because it's easy to go to. And, you know, generally speaking, you know, compared to 5 years ago, you definitely see an increase in women. And it's exciting to, you know, see young women that are starting their own businesses and stuff. It's great.
Yeah, I was just at Pressnomics and it was mostly men because it's kind of this higher level, you know, plugin developers, theme developers, people are making big money with WordPress, but it's unfortunately, like you said, it's the men, the plugin developers and the hosting companies and things like that. And there was just very few women. So at the very end of that conference, when they had like this Q&A session, the women spoke up and said, you got to do something about this. Like there needs to be not just a passive initiative to bring more women to the conferences like that. You really have to make it intentional, kind of put a committee together for it and, you know, make some plans around strategy around like, how do we make that happen?
Well, and I know from Twitter, there were plenty of women in attendance because I follow all that stuff on the weekend. I'm kind of one of those people that I attend conferences via Twitter from my couch on the weekend.
There were women tweeting about it, but at the actual conference, because I was there.
Yeah.
It was maybe 12, 15% women.
Oh, well, that's low. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
Let me ask you your opinion on this. What do you think about how the WordCamps are always on weekends?
Yeah, I mean, I am flexible with it being whenever. In some instances, it would be nicer if they were like regular conferences and during the week. None of the other conferences that I attend are on the weekend. But I've also often wondered if that's because so many of us are working. And the Monday through Friday is our time to make money, and the weekend is the time to go places. I always think I should be taking advantage of this for tax write-off travel. I never do that. Like, you know, I should be going to WordCamp Miami. Why am I not doing that? To me, it doesn't make or break it, but it does seem like they could make it more flexible. Like if that worked for the community that was putting it on, it might be cheaper in Seattle to have it at the convention center Monday through Thursday or Monday and Tuesday or whatever than it is to rent the place on the weekend. I don't know.
Maybe it's because WordPress users sometimes are those bloggers and they might have day jobs.
Exactly. Or they are self-employed. They just don't hire us, right? Like I met so many people that are DIYers. I mean, you know, people that have their own personal blog or they're a lawyer or, you know, those people are attending WordCamp too. And it seems like, you know, the attendance for WordCamp is really doesn't have a cap on it if you started opening it up or advertising it more to the end user versus the producer.
Yeah, I've always wondered about the goal of why, I mean, they're always on the weekends. They never mix it up. And for me, you know, as somebody that got into this business so that I would have more time with my family, I don't necessarily always want to leave on the weekends when it's mm-hmm. family time to go to this conference when I'd rather take, you know, that's a work conference. I want to go and do it while I'm working. But I do understand the other side of it, but they never mix it up. It's always weekends.
Right. Yeah. And I've been on the leadership for running WordCamp briefly for a couple of months until I figured out it was going to be like 5 hours a week or something. I'm like, oh God, I'm sorry guys. But you know, they run the different communities through the same steps, right? And I just wonder if in there it says pick a weekend versus you can have it any day of the week. They may stipulate that. Because you're right. It's never any other time. It's always on a weekend.
Well, with that, before we go, it's been wonderful having you here today. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Sure. So my business website is webcammy.com. I've owned it since like 2000. And I started a second little blog called Webcammy Cafe. And I'm just trying to build up some content for myself and share how I started my business. And I have a little Facebook group with that too. So Webcammy, and also on Twitter. I own at Webcammy for everything. So Instagram, you can check all of those out. And my website, webcammy.com, will lead you anywhere you need to go.
It's been so great to talk to you and
yeah.
How much we have in common. And yeah.
Yeah, I love the podcast. I am inspired every time I listen to it. And I'm just so happy that I was there from the beginning when Amy posted on Twitter, who thinks this is a good idea?
Yeah, and I thought nobody would listen. I thought nobody was interested. All right, well, thanks so much for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I know this will air later, but I'll see you all at WordCamp US. And thank you for the opportunity. I'm just happy to be part of your community.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.